Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hello friends, and welcome to a sun-soaked Friday edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. I am Mark Heath, I'm your host. I'm in a vest, as you may notice. If you're watching on video, it's because it's bloody hot. It's caliente at Heath Towers, and I can't sit here in anything less than a rather skimpy top. There may be a wardrobe malfunction at some point if I move quickly, so hopefully not. But hey, it's excitement for the next hour or so, isn't it, if you're watching on video. I'm joined by my three favourite Kings, Stuart Watson, Ross Halls, Andy Warren. Mike Bacon is on holiday today. We'll have a podcast out on Sunday. His favourite Town 11 series continues. I think it is Stephen Foster this week. Friends, how are we all? Before we get going on the actual football, I want to talk about something that happened earlier this week. The second instalment of KOA Fan Social Football Soccer down the excellent Goals Facility in Ipswich. That's excellent Goals Facility in Ipswich, if you do fancy sponsoring us. I wasn't involved, clearly, because I'm out for the season, brackets old slash knee. Hutchie's still negotiating his appearance fee, which is quite hefty. So this time, Roscoe, of course, was there leading the pack. But there's also Mr. Dr. Stuart Watson strolling around, running ting, like the imperious baller that he is. Stewie, tell us all about it.
I don't know what to tell you about it. Yeah, it was good. Good five-a-side kick about with the boys. Got to meet a few of the KOA social lads for the first time, which was a real pleasure. Thank you to them. I didn't get a chance to say thank you to them for all they do with Ross post games and during the week with the fan social. That was good fun. To say I hadn't played in a long time is an understatement. I had to go into my loft to find some appropriate footwear beforehand. So all things considered, wasn't too bad, shaking off the rust.
And you were telling us it got proper tasty between you and Roscoe. You dumped him into the boards. He kicked you up in the air. Tell us more about that.
Maybe hyping that up a little bit too much. There was a moment where Ross and I went, I thought we were going to go shoulder to shoulder down the touchline. Ross didn't provide much resistance back when the shoulder went in. So he went down on that occasion, but he did get me back a few minutes later. But yeah, it was good, Ross, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's good fun. So when we played with you, Heath, we played at Wembley, but this time we played at the Stade de France.
Oh,
so
nice.
He upped up a little bit. It's Champions League final time, this one. And Stu brought his own football. You said that's the Football League football.
He brought his own football.
Yeah. Did you really? Amazing.
It's my ball. It's my game.
Yeah. Some controversy, I know, as well on the social, Stu, about you rocking up in a yellow top.
Yeah, I thought that might raise eyebrows. That was a freebie I got when we played at St George's Park a couple of years ago.
Just pick that name up off the floor. Played at St George's Park. There we go.
Well, is that a name drop? I'm not quite sure it is. I wore that because it was either that or I had to wear that Ipswich shirt that I got, which had Watson 6 on the back. And I thought I might look a bit of a wanker if I turned up with my own name and number on the back of a shirt. So I opted for the yellow instead.
I did also enjoy the picture that Ross had, the traditional fists up picture post game in the pub. Someone pointed out it looked like you'd been photoshopped in, and it genuinely did, Stewie. There was some sort of like haze around you. I guess that's just your aura. But it did look as if you'd literally just been dropped in photoshop style. Yeah, Stewie was there, honest. Hutchie, I think we're a grand a game at the moment for you, appearance fee wise. Are we like to get that deal across the line? We're going to see you in the next few weeks?
You might need a potential change to the law. from what I've been told, you are not allowed to leave a 4-year-old in the house on their own.
Oh,
that's what I've been told.
Boring.
Can't she
come with? Can she kick a ball?
She can. Not at that time of night because she needs to get her sleep.
Okay. All right then. So child stops play there. But who knows? Hopefully Hutch will get involved in the future. Friends, let's move on, shall we? We're doing this on Friday. What is it? June the 10th? He says, checking his watch. June the 10th. The transfer window has officially opened, which means we have to start the show, I guess, with the sexy stuff. I know, boys, that we talk about this all the time and it's not something you particularly enjoy, but it gets the people going. So let's start the show with it. The first thing to mention, of course, is over this summer transfer window, you're going to see numerous rumour, gossip, etc. Just a reminder, the various stages of treatment that we approach that with. If you see a story, and I know I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. If you see a story that we've done, standalone story, usually be written by either Stu or Andy, because let's be honest, they're the people with their ears to the ground, i.e. Town interested in Jack Taylor, James Norwood's going to sign for Ipswich Town, all those ones we did last summer when the various players were on their way. That is because it's a story that we've done, we've sourced, we're confident in it, and we believe it to be correct. That's the first and highest level of transfer story. Second is Ipswich Town transfer rumours. These are stories that come from a credible source that we think may be something in, but we haven't been able to independently verify, but they're still worth chucking out there because it's interesting. And the third and maybe most interesting, most important level of transfer story is the ones that you don't see us touch. There's a reason for that. Despite there being loads of rumours around, because we don't think it's a story, essentially. So on that note, boys, there was something going around this week. Let's kick off with this. Strikers, obviously Town want to sign a striker this summer, or two. And there was links this week with Danny Hilton, Luton striker, doing the rounds. Does one of you want to pick up on this, Stewie? We talked about this, didn't we?
Yeah, nothing in it. As far as we're concerned, having made some inquiries, it can be quite tiresome in this day of social media with the amount of names that come out. Every time something goes in there, it's how we have to do due diligence and duty of care to check them out. Sometimes that can be a very quick phone call or two, that sometimes it takes a bit more digging, but nothing in that Hilton one. I think that's, as we've said before, when you see a player linked to multiple clubs, that's normally a bit of a giveaway that... might be an agent just trying to drum up a bit of interest in their client. But nothing in that one as far as we're concerned. And we're not going to go down the route of doing a sort of knocking story with a big screaming headline that says Ipswich Town are not interested in such and such player. We'll blob that on the bottom of something else. We'll weave it into some of the copy that we do, but I don't think we're going to do standalone stories on non-interesting players. So that's why we approach that one that way.
Yeah. Sunderland being promoted back to the Championship might change that a little bit, because they used to appear in all of those, didn't they?
Yeah.
Ipswich and Sunderland and Sheffield Wednesday and Charlton are all after X. Might be a bit different now. I don't know if they'll be quite as a League One. It isn't quite as attractive. Maybe Derby can, once they're allowed to do anything, might slip into that role.
Yeah, I mean, Ipswich will be within a bracket of clubs. There is a certain clubs get put in little groups that are going after the same sort of band of players. And I think last season, Ipswich were coming up against Wigan for the same type of players because of not only being in the same sort of financial ballpark, but obviously because of the Cook-Richardson dynamic last summer. This year, you'd imagine it will be Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday, Portsmouth, teams of a similar ilk. So it doesn't take much if you were on the player side of the camp to kind of work out. You can start to work out which clubs are after which positions that are in the same sort of financial bracket. And then Bob's your uncle. You can kind of bracket a few of them together and hope that it creates something. And I'm sure that's a big part of Mark Ashton's job, to kind of see through the smoke and mirrors of all of that sometimes, and work out what's genuine and what's not.
Yeah. The other thing to mention in this whole transfer window is, again, consider the source, friends. If you see a story and find a source, which is essentially some Twitter EFL transfer rumours site with about 10 followers, or someone, you know, sort of bedroom style journalist with 100 followers, that's unlikely to be an accurate sourced story. And also, obviously, there are sites out there that are based around aggregating SEO, clickbait, you'd call it, hits. Again, consider the source. Not saying they're always nonsense, but consider the source. And if we don't do it, there's a reason for that. In the spirit of things then, Hutchie, shall we have a brief review? Town have already signed two players in the free agent window, as it were. Now they can actually start bidding for players, making moves. We know where they need to strengthen this summer. Another striker, attacking midfielder, left-sided specialist, and potentially a backup goalkeeper. Is that a good summation of it?
Yeah. I think you could probably potentially throw another central midfielder in there down the line, potentially. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's top of the priority list, but yeah, I think that's a nice focused group of targets, focused position groups. Rather than building an entire squad like they did last summer, it's now filling in some gaps, topping up where needed, and adding quality in positions of need. So yeah, I think that's a pretty fair summary of where they're at and what they're looking for.
I must just say, I've referred to bedroom journalists. I've just realised that we're all sat in bedrooms. You know what I mean, friends. You know what I mean. Right then.
Yeah, and we can't get too sniffy about it because, let's be honest, the world is a smaller place. People have got, there's some people that kind of do what we do for fun and can do it really well as well. And people are accessible now in the world of DMs and social media and everything. So we can't. Gone are the days where you can kind of just dismiss that. Unfortunately, we have to, you can always get a bit of a sixth sense for whether something is genuine or not, but you can't ever dismiss anything because there's always an outside chance sometimes that there's something in it. I mean, Scott Twine is a prime example this week. We were just chatting before we came on air. I know there's been a lot of noise around him on the various timelines in the last few days. And if you work back through where that's originated from, that's kind of appears to have come from a tweet from an MK Dons fan that may or may probably have been on a wind-up that's got a few bites on there. But I would say it's very unlikely that Scott Twine would come to it. I wouldn't say it's impossible either. From the little inquiries that we've made throughout the summer, not just in the last few days, is that he's someone that Ipswich obviously would want because of what he did in the division last year. Financially, I think Ipswich could compete with the championship clubs that will be after him. But ultimately, I think Scott Twine will be setting his sights higher than Ipswich, even with the vision and everything that comes with Ipswich at the moment. So, yes, we have to look into everything, regardless of where it's come from.
Hutchie, in terms of the grand scale of things, as a football journalist, because there are people who absolutely love, I mean, fans absolutely love transfer window opening, all the rumours and gossip and stuff. But there are so many rumours out there now. It's so easy to start a rumour that it makes it really hard nowadays to see the wood for the trees. Is this a period that you enjoy, or is it like a period that you kind of endure until it slams shut?
I don't like the summer one. I really I don't like the summer at all. It's very long. January I can handle. It's a short, sharp burst of injection of something interesting into the season. But I'll be honest, no, I don't particularly enjoy the summer transfer window. I love football transfers as much as anybody. I love squads changing, players arriving, money being spent, surprises, things like that. But from a work point of view, if I'm completely honest, I don't enjoy the summer very much at all.
It's a bit of a bloody nightmare, isn't it, boys? Rossi, by way of ending this conversation, moving on, I want to ask you, Ipswich Town have already signed two players this summer. They signed 19 last summer. How many signings do Ipswich Town need to make this summer? What would be a good number for you to be sitting at come the end of the transfer window?
Once again, it depends if there's any people who leave, you know, because there's
I want
to expand my answer a little bit. Give me some airtime. Five or six, I'd say. Five or six.
But in those areas that we've discussed?
Yes, pretty much.
Is that in addition to the two that have already come in, Ross?
Oh no! So it's including that. So yeah,
including those. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you reckon, boys? Is 5 or 6 a good solid number? We don't want 19, do we? I mean, is double figures even a bit over the top this summer?
No, I think 5 or 6. Is correct for me. I mean, we've got Ball and Ladapo in. I would say another striker. Obviously, the left side, they're the next two big priorities, and then you're looking at probably another attacking midfielder, may or may not be Salina. And then possibly a central midfielder. Ball, Evans, Morsi is a pretty solid trio there. I'm going to say that Cameron Humphrey's breakthrough is more likely to be in one of those advanced number 10 positions. So it depends what you're going to do with El Mazzouni or Rakeem Harper. Possibly central midfield. So yeah, I think that number Ross has just said there of 5 or 6 is what it will be.
Okay, time will tell. No doubt it'll be something of a roller coaster. It always is this summer, isn't it? But obviously, follow it all with us, and we'll bring you everything up to date and as fast as we can, as per usual. Next up, friends, I'm going to start with you on this one, Hutchie. Pre-season fixtures. Unbelievably, Ipswich Town are going to play a game 2 weeks tomorrow. Their first pre-season fixture is before June even ends at Needham Market. How do we feel about this? I mean, obviously, the marquee fixture they've announced this week is the West Ham game. I know you're something of a hammer. And then would you say West Ham are your second side? The Hammers? Is that fair enough?
I wouldn't quite go that strong. But if I was to have a second team, it would be that. My dad grew up as a West Ham fan, so
yeah, it's all right. You can have second teams, can't you? I've got numerous teams I've got affection for. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Who are your teams?
Well, obviously Derby County, my boyhood team, are probably now my second team, given I cover Ipswich Town professionally and have to be involved in that. I've got a bit of a fondness for Liverpool from my youth. I started out life as a Liverpool fan, a glory hunter, with that great Liverpool side of the 80s, early 90s, and I've whispered this quietly as a Derby fan. I've also got a bit of a soft spot for Nottingham Forest, which is crazy.
Brian Clough related?
It's Brian, yeah, Brian Clough. You know, I think that Brian Clough is the greatest manager of all time, the greatest personality that football has ever seen. And it's that Clough link to Forest. Plus,
you never met Jordan Spence, did you?
I never met Jordan Spence. No,
the greatest personality football's ever seen. I like Jordan.
Yeah, that link isn't there. Jordan's in Hollywood now, of course, isn't he, with his missus? Hutchie, West Ham clearly the marquee friendly. Straight, a bit of a shame it's maybe on a Tuesday night. What did you make of it? I mean, clearly, we all know that friendlies aren't serious business, but in terms of slate of fixtures, what do you make of it?
Yeah, nice solid little group of games. I think all good travel wise. Nothing too crazy in terms of travelling, which is what they wanted. It's all a week ahead of schedule, isn't it? Because of the start of season being forward. But I think it's quite a nice little solid group of games. Looking forward to seeing how Kieran McKenna uses them. Playing a National League side at Portman Road in the final warm up game is interesting with Southend. That's an unusual one, but I think that might be an occasion to kind of fine tune a couple of things, given that it's like 4 days before the big kickoff. I'm not sure that I think that might be a game for.
Do you think the order of these has been carefully thought through? Because last summer, what was it, Millwall and Palace were kind of the last ones. Am I right in saying that? I missed a couple of those building up to the season, and they were both. I wasn't at either of those games, but they were both sort of quite chastening experiences, weren't they, sort of leading into the season? And just purely from a confidence point of view, do you think by sticking Southend at home at the end, and that is no gimme, but rather than finishing with a West Ham, traditionally they've finished with the bigger team at home, you're just giving yourself, it's just setting you up a bit from a mentality point of view, a bit nicer for the opening game?
Sort of front load it, heavy load it, and kind of taper off. You know, it's not exciting. It's not an exciting game, really. But that the game at Millwall really really interests me, because I like that game. I like the just having that kind of stretched level of difficulty. a championship team who's been competitive in the championship for a long time, where Ipswich want to be. That's the one that kind of interests me the most, how they perform in that one. But again, that comes after West Ham and you're kind of tapering it off. That's a, maybe, Stu. I think that might, that's a, you can't put that level of thought past Kieran McKenna, I don't think. I think
Andy Rowles has a big part about to play in that. He's the director of performance and he's the one that puts a lot of thought into the scheduling. When they travel for away games, do we do two nights in advance? Do we do it on the day? Do we, you know, where do we stay? What training facilities do we use? And I think he was a big factor in sort of sorting out this this pre-season. So I'm sure a lot of thought's gone into that. I mean, ultimately it might come down to who was available on what dates and when. But
yeah.
Yeah, I do wonder if there was a bit of thought went into sort of not only who they play, but the order that they play them.
I'm sure that was the case with West Ham. I'm sure it was kind of that is when we're available. West Ham are doing what they always tend to do on that night. They've got a second game that day. So they're playing at Boreham Wood, I think. So West Ham tend to split their squad between two games. Or Ipswich obviously being the bigger test for them compared to Boreham Wood. So it'll be interesting to see who from West Ham we see at Portman Road for that one. But yeah, I imagine it's just when they were available to slot in.
Ultimately, Mark, we talk about the what does pre-season mean? What can we read into it all? And it doesn't really mean a lot. I've seen pre-seasons, what was it, with the Urich, which lost 6-0 at Charlton in the final warm-up game and then had a storming opening month under Mick McCarthy. There's been other pre-seasons that have gone really well and it's not translated. So managers will always just tell you it's about fitness in the legs, just getting them up to speed and up and running again.
Can I jump in? As you know, I'm a polite young man. I'm the youngster of the group, the prospect and all that. I just didn't want to jump in and interrupt. One game I've been looking forward to is Wimbledon because it's at Plough Lane. I didn't think we were going to return to Plough Lane so quickly because, of course, they got relegated to League Two. But that's also a double header for the women's team. They play afterwards. So it's going to be a nice day all round, you know, for town fans watching two games. So it should be an interesting day.
Yeah, it's a nice idea that they're not doing that with any of the other friendlies, though, are they? As far as I know,
no.
It's just a nice idea. Roscoe, your second team we know is Ross County, correct?
bear with me.
What? That's an unusual response. For those of you just listening, Ross just vanished off the screen. Oh, he's come back with a Ross County scarf. There we go.
Yeah, Liam from Crewe. He's actually an Inverness fan. He's got multiple teams and they're rivals, they're the Highland rivals, so he actually got me a Ross County scarf, but I've also got Napoli because of my family and stuff as well, but yeah.
When are you two going up for a Highlands derby then? When are you two going on it? Maybe that could be the first thing you do once you can drive. You can drive drive yourselves up to the Highlands
in bare feet.
Yeah.
Eating, what's it, a Toblerone?
That's an Alan Partridge reference, Ross. Yeah, you'll get used to this. You spend enough time around these two.
But sadly, they're not in the same league, Ross County and Inverness, so that won't happen until they draw in a cup or something, or Inverness get promoted. So one day.
By the time you can go and drive, I'd imagine Inverness will be in the Champions League. we will see. Friends, let's move on, shall we? I'm going to stay with you, Roscoe. I want to give you your thoughts on this. Cameron Humphreys, another bit of news from this week. I called him a super prospect in a piece that I've written for the paper on Monday because I'm prone to hyperbole, as we all know, friends. He signed a new 3-year deal. Very exciting breakthrough season, shall we say, last season, playing for three sides, the 18s, the 23s, and, of course, the senior side. Looked very, very impressive indeed on the final day against Charlton. Lot of excitement about this, but the thing that interests me most is how should we approach Cameron Humphreys next season? A lot of feedback I got when the news came out was that's great, but he's not going to play next season, so let's send him out on loan, League Two. We talked about this before with Elkin Baggett. We've said that a League Two loan might be the next logical step. We haven't really talked about it with Humphreys. So where do you stand on that whole debate?
He's 18, and obviously when you look at a young player, you go, yeah, send him out on loan. But sometimes he's been part of the, you know, first team training last season under Kieran McKenna. In my opinion, I'd keep him here. I think I'd like to keep him here and be part of the match day squads, make an impact when we can. And I think this will be a good grounding season for him. And then maybe next season, if we are in the Championship, maybe then loan him out back to League One. But I rate him highly, actually, Cameron Humphreys. I'm not going to put him too much on a pedestal because he's still only 18. So, you know, give him a bit of slack. But I'm pleased the club have given him, you know, that long-term deal. You know, we saw Liam Gibbs, he went to Norwich last season for free or nominal fee or whatever it was. But I'm pleased we've tied him down and he's just another young player that I'm looking forward to hopefully progressing. And yeah, we shall see what the boys think of Cameron Humphreys.
There you go, boys. There's your cue.
I'd keep him as well. I think he is going to struggle for league minutes. You just have to look at kind of Dominic Ball signing Sam Morsi, Lee Evans as in the proper sort of midfield area. That's a very senior area of the pitch, higher up the pitch. I think they'll recruit. And obviously, I think Connor Chaplin and Sonny Aluko are obviously two vastly senior players. But between August and December, there's cup games, there's the EFL trophy. And in those games, you'd hope that would be kind of the proving ground for what the work that he can do with McKenna at the training ground. So I would 100% be keeping him around at least for the first half of the season and then see where that takes you kind of in January after Christmas and treat him that way. Because he is only young. He's very young. Like, talk about Baggett going out on loan. He's that bit older, that bit more worldly wise in terms of international stuff that he's done. Corey and Darber has been out on loan this season, a lot older. So I'd probably keep Humphreys around for a season and see what a good solid year, 6 months at least, of work with McKenna can do for him.
Agreed, yeah. I think it's a bit different for defenders and goalkeepers when we talk about Ndaba and Bagger. I think as a defender, you tend to either play or you don't play, and you have to go out and get that 40 games and, you know, harden you up a little bit in lower levels. I think it's a little bit different for sort of attack-minded players. You can sort of ease them in with substitute appearances here and there, cup games, things like that. Yes, he's 18, but if you're good enough, you're old enough, I'm minded of sort of Teddy Bishop playing a pretty central role in the year, which finished sixth in the Championship. He played most games in central midfield alongside Cole Skews. I think if you're a team that's on a bit of an upward trajectory and has got some good, solid, experienced players that are going to help you along, that there's a moment in time that can be right to blood talented young players, and it feels like that potentially could be a good breeding ground for Cameron Humphreys, as opposed to if Ipswich are in the latter stages of their Championship decline and it's all a bit of a negative atmosphere and it's toiling on the pitch a little bit. You can damage young players by putting him into that environment. I think this is a positive environment to start getting Cameron Humphreys involved in. The way McKenna sets up his team with those sort of two number 10s, I think that might be a better area. He might ultimately end up being a deeper central midfielder, but I think playing in that advanced position might enable him to kind of find his senior football footing that little bit more. And Ipswich are still quite light on the ground in that area. If you look at it with Selina having gone, it's Chaplin and Aluko only really at the moment. So, for me, he's got to stay at least for the next 6 months. And as Andy says, you can always assess that again in January after the cup games maybe have dried up by that point and see where Ipswich are at.
That's what happened with Flynn, with not so much with the cups, with Flynn Downs, wasn't it? He had his moment in time, kind of burst on a scene in the summer, played a decent amount of football in the first half of his first season. But when it became apparent that he wasn't play every single week and the football wasn't quite there for him, he went on loan to Luton, didn't he? Second half of the season and did really, really well. So my gut feeling is Humphreys won't play as much as Downs did at that time, but the same principle can be applied, and you can do what's right for their development at different intervals. Because what you don't want is him stalling, which is being around for an entire season of, well, he won't be eligible for the under 18s anymore, but 23s football. If you're too good for it, you can stall. So I'm sure it'll be something they'll be pretty fluid with and assessing as they go along.
It's hard for us to have a very strong opinion on this because the reality is we don't know how good he is. We've seen him play for 90 minutes against Newport, where I thought he was probably the best player on the pitch. He's played for 7 minutes at Charlton on the night that it got a bit toxic and Toto confronted the fans and in that sticky period in the season. And he played for 15 minutes on the final day of the season. And he came on and obviously got an assist there. And that's pretty much all we saw of him. I think he got 5 minutes against Barrow in the first game as well. So we as fans and outsiders have only seen him for a handful of minutes. I guess the fact that Kieran Dyer has called him the second best midfielder at the club upon him leaving his under-23s role has kind of added to the noise surrounding him, but it will be up to McKenna and everyone else at the club to kind of make their own opinions on what they see of him as a player, as a personality, day in, day out. But he's obviously done enough to get that new contract, and I guess a lot will come down to pre-season, and he'll probably end up getting quite a few minutes in those games that we've already talked about.
Watching the interview the club did with him, by the way, what a composed, thoughtful young man, well-spoken, for 18 years old. A, he sounds like Tom Daley, which is no bad thing. And B, thinking back to when I was 18, if you'd have plonked me down in front of a camera and done an interview with me, having signed for a football club, I would have been nowhere near that loquacious and well-spoken. And there, obviously, there is an element of football cliches dripping in. But I just thought, yeah, he came across really well. So fantastic news. And we even saw senior players tweeting, didn't we, to say congratulations, Connor Chaplin, one of those. So clearly very highly thought of young man, Cameron Humphreys. Right then, next on this news roundup, the wheel of news is going to stop on Hutchie. Ed Sheeran has extended his sponsorship of the Ipswich Town kit for another season. It's always nice when we see this because yesterday when that news broke, not only was it a local story, a national story, it was an international story. All over Twitter, I was seeing things from places that I follow that don't normally cover football, sharing the news that Ed Sheeran was sponsoring Ipswich Town. And that's the beauty of the whole thing, isn't it?
It's a great partnership, isn't it? Like how lucky are Ipswich Town to have seen sort of what the world's leading musician, I guess you could call him, grow up supporting their club. How fortunate is that? And credit to the club as well, because they are very fortunate that that's happened, but that I think they've done a really good job of trying to maximize that in recent times. It's hard to find anything but positive in it, isn't it? Ipswich Town gets talked about well outside its sphere. I think the logo actually looks really good on shirts. It's a nice looking sponsorship logo. It's something nobody else is ever going to have, I wouldn't have thought. And given that I think Ed's world tour is probably never going to end, that goes on well into 2023. It makes an awful lot of sense for that to happen again. I feel sure that this is just the beginning of the tie-ups between him and the club as well. Going forward, I'm sure there'll be plenty more over the years.
On that note, if he's going to get a squad number again this season, can we actually see him play? Because last season was disappointing. I think if he's going to get a squad number, needs to be eligible to play and needs to be seen on the pitch. In the Pizza Trophy, in the Carabao Cup, whatever. But I want to see Ed Sheeran play for Ipswich Town.
I think we all do.
Ross is doing this. If you're not watching our video, he's shaking his head. I think when you described him as a musician, Hutchie, Rossi probably had thoughts on that. But I know you're not a fan of Ed Sheeran, Ross. You're too cool for Ed Sheeran. But you cannot deny that having the world's biggest selling artist, which I think he probably is at the moment, certainly one of the most popular musicians on planet Earth, repping your club and repping the shirt, that's a good thing, regardless of what you think of him, surely.
Yeah, of course it's a good thing. You know, massive exposure. It's like worldwide, isn't just, you know, as you said, like, you know, it's not a local story. It's not just in England. It's worldwide. You know, there's every country in the world. There'll be random people wearing this shirt because it's got his tour on it. But, you know, more shirts were sold, I think, weren't it last year's, you know, all time, you know, the amount of new shirts were sold. And as I said, it's just great exposure. And, you know, he's a local lad as well. So it's always good to see a local lad do good, even if you're not, you know, don't like his music, you know, it's not your taste, but you just got to go, it looks good as well, doesn't it? It just looks good on the shirt. So yeah, there we go. That's all I've got to say.
Fair enough. The logo is good. And that's obviously a key part of things, isn't it?
So it certainly beats having, being one of the sort of 80, 90% that seem to all have betting companies on the front and the sort of the era that we live in with the way sponsorship has gone. something quite wholesome about having your homegrown music superstar, and the fact that he's not just gone for Ed Sheeran on the front. It's quite, I think it's quite nice, that sort of Mathematics Tour logo on there as well is quite nice as logos go, isn't it? And the money makes a difference. As much as Ipswich have got this kind of American money behind them now, you are bound by sort of spending a percentage of what you bring in with sustainability and sort of the League One's version of FFP. So the money that Ed is putting in, which they've never disclosed, but has always just kind of been alluded to as being significant, makes a direct impact on the budget that Kieran McKenna has got to spend in this transfer window. So, manna from heaven, Ed Sheeran, sort of not landing Ipswich Town's lap, but just it's just fallen quite nicely, isn't it?
And just on the exposure point of view, just to explain the power of Sheeran, our most read story on our website, the entire East Anglian Daily Times website so far this month, is Ed Sheeran picking up a curry from his local curry house. That, my friends, is the most read story on our website this month. Man collects takeaway in place where he lives.
You are missing a layer of that story, though.
What's that?
Because I believe when he finished his gig at the Palace or whatever he was doing as part of the Jubilee, they asked him what he was doing, and he said, "I'm going home to get a curry." So that's okay. So I think that's where the interest may have.
Is that where it is? Because I've always suggested to Newsdesk that we do a series which is just basically Ed Sheeran doing everyday things. Ed Sheeran takes his dog for a walk down his local park. Ed Sheeran goes for a jog. The thing is, they would get hits, friends. That is the power of the man. So to have him connected to the football club brings so many more extra eyes and interest. And I'm sure there are people who support Town across the world now for no other reason than Ed Sheeran, which is great. Right then, friends, we're coming to the end of this news roundup. Hutchie, I'm going to stick with you because you dropped a little exclusive Luke Wolfenden interview earlier this week. Do you want to tell people about it just as part of this general roundup?
Yeah, I had a chat with Luke recently after he extended his contract, and he was in a positive mood, both about his future and about the clubs. And it's just quite nice to see sort of players so enthused about how their club is going. Enthused about his own development. We know he's played incredibly well under Kieran McKenna, but also pretty focused and knowing that he can't sort of just rest on that. He's kind of declared his recent times the most consistent of his career. But we've seen those highs from him before. He knows that he can't afford to have the dips that he's also had in his career previously. So looking forward to seeing Luke Wolfenden return and try and go up another level, hopefully, at the start of next season. He seems pretty focused in trying to do that.
You ever tempted Hutchie when you speak to Luke Wolfenden, you see the hair, you see the bleach blonde hair. You ever think, it's a good look for me, actually. I might give that a go.
What do you think? How would that look?
I think 100,000% yes.
Right.
It's not like bleach blonde, it's sort of dirty blonde, isn't it? It's got a little bit sort of dark in it as well. I reckon that'd suit you. I reckon you're the sort of man who could pull that off.
On what basis are you thinking I could pull that off? I'm interested to know.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah,
I think you're more the man. You've got the new teeth, got the vest on today.
Yeah.
The man chasing the youthful look should be the one to...
Are you implying that I'm in some way having... Are you saying, implying... A midlife crisis. That's what you're saying. Okay, I'll take that and I'll deal with it. And you may have more than a point there.
Blonde on. Come on.
I did actually dye my hair blonde back in the day when I was at journalism college. I was bleached blonde.
That doesn't surprise me. Is that the same sort of time when you shaved stripes into your eyebrows?
100,000% it was. Yeah, it was also the same time that Eminem was coming out. The two may have been related. Wasn't a strong look when I look back at pictures of me from that period.
Did you do it yourself?
Yes.
That's a classic of the genre.
Absolutely. I did all my own haircuts back then and eyebrow lines and whatnot. I was an interesting looking young man, shall we say. There are several pictures from the era that Hey, maybe one day I'll share. I don't know.
I did accidentally dye my hair blonde once. At the front.
Accidentally?
Do you want to know how?
Did you accidentally put your face in acid?
No. just the front bits here. I accidentally bought the wrong moisturizer, which had which had fake tan in it.
Amazing.
And I went a bit too close to the old hairline, got some in the hair, didn't think it mattered because it's just moisturizer. Yeah. That's fine in hair. Don't really want it there. But it turned out it kind of gave me some little tints at the front. That's as good as you're going to get.
That was a thing for a while, wasn't it? Doing like the front of the curtains, you'd just get the front bit sort of done blonde. I think that curtains. Was kind of an early noughties thing.
Curtains I've also got such a similar look.
Similar incident. I decided I wanted to do the blonde hair thing when I had hair when I was younger, and I bought, you know, there's a thing called sun-in. You just sort of spray it on your hair, and it's meant to naturally sort of lighten your hair in the sun. And I went on holiday with my family for a fortnight, and it just went bright ginger basically at the end, and that coincided with me meeting the now in-laws for the first time. I turned up looked like a right idiot. I had to buy some brown dye to dye it back to natural colour.
Amazing. I could talk about haircuts all day because I've had some absolute stinkers. But we should probably move on. Other bits of news, maybe a couple of bits have come out this morning, Sue, you might want to touch on. Lucy Egan ban, which is an extraordinarily long ban. You find out the reasons for that, and also a little announcement from the club this morning. Just want to mention those in passing.
Obviously this sort of raised a few eyebrows when the news came out from Ipswich Town Women that Lucy Egan had been given, they originally said 162-day ban, having contacted the FA. It's actually, let me get the correct length. It's 218, thank you. So it's longer than even originally put out. So that equates to, what, the best part of 7.5 months, which is an extraordinary length of time. We've published the sort of full reasons from the FA report on the website. It's Ipswich had a goal disallowed in the last minute of their last game of the season. They lost 1-0 to finish third. Lucy's confronted the referee, used some choice language, and slapped the referee's outstretched arm away. And that, after a hearing from an independent panel, that they've decided that is the fitting punishment to go with that. So, it's created a bit of a debate on social media. Some people saying, yeah, it's about time referees, you know, some harsher punishments came out for the way that people behave towards referees, because we're having a shortage of referees at grassroots level because of the abuse that they're getting. Others saying, well, compare it to the length of bans, especially in the men's game. There's not many comparable length of bans for that period of time. Even if you're going back to like Di Canio pushing over a referee, I think he got 11 games for that. Mm. Even I think about to the Alan Judge incident last year, where the referee obviously put his head in towards Alan Judge. I think he only ended up being banned for about 20 days after that. So is there some inconsistencies in the punishments that are being handed out here? I think we'd all agree that there needs to be some more respect towards referees in the game. No one's condoning, obviously, what Lucy is alleged to have done. But I thought that you know, there's an interesting debate around that length of ban that's been handed her way.
Yeah. Rossi, obviously, you're our main source of Ipswich Town women's news. I'm assuming this has been quite a big talking point. Without libelling or defaming anyone, I'm assuming that there's been a little bit of consternation about the length of ban. It doesn't, as Stu just said there, comparing it to other bans in the men's game, seems a bit harsh.
That is the key word there. It is very harsh. You know, 218 days, whatever it is, it's just unbelievable. You know, for what she's allegedly done, it's, you know, as Stu's already said, the example is there. It's just, it's crazy. I mean, it's out of character for Lucy. You know, it's not really what she would, you know, would normally do, but it is just harsh. And I don't know what else to say about
how important is she in terms of the next season? Clearly, we're hoping for big things from the ladies again next season, making that hopefully that next step. How important a player is she? And clearly, she's going to miss games now.
Yeah, I think she won't be back until December if you I think the date, so she's going to be away for a while. And she is, you know, she's a centre half, and we play for it at the back at the moment anyway. I don't know if Joe's going to change his tactics or formations, but she's been a key player, part of the team, you know, from 2019, you know, part of that historic FA Cup run back in the, when we played Man City. And even till now, she's been, you know, main part of the team. So she will be a big miss. But when she's back, I'm sure she's going to be, you know, ready and firing to go.
Mm. Let us know what you think about that. And just finally, Stewie, there's a bit of an announcement from the club this morning, wasn't there? Which we should note on a news Ipswich Town podcast.
Yeah, Ipswich Town's Community Trust, which is the charity arm of the club, has been rebranded as the Ipswich Town Foundation. I think the club sat down. I think there's now 12 trustees now driving that forward. Dan Palfrey, the main man heading up the community side of things at Ipswich Town, alongside the likes of Matt Holland, Connor Chaplin, Natasha Thomas from the women's side of things. They're constantly sitting down and looking at ways to kind of expand the community side of it. Mark Ashton has made it very clear that community has to be at the absolute heart and forefront of what this club does. Obviously, the power of Ipswich being a one club county and engaging with more people and inspiring that new generation of fans. So I think they've looked at a lot of Premier League clubs apparently have foundations, which I don't know the full reasons, but opens up sort of more possibilities in terms of the diversity of programs that you can put on and the things that you can do. So they've gone down that route, and obviously just a rebrand just puts it in the public eye again and just makes people realise how important it is to them. So interesting to see what big plans they've got for that going forwards.
Yeah, good stuff. You have a chat with Matt Holland, haven't you, about that and other matters, which you'll be putting out tomorrow. It'll be in print tomorrow as well. Right then, friends, that brings us to the end of the news roundup. Let's have a little bit of banter before we go, shall we? What is Andy Warren's kit of the week? It looks an interesting one over the right-hand shoulder. It looks like an old jumper that I used to have. So is that brown, the kind of top stripe? Then you've got a middle stripe of white.
Is that Under Armour?
Under Armour
manufacturers.
And then red for the rest of it. Rossi knows. What is it, Rossi?
Galatasaray, isn't it?
No.
It's a German.
Do you want me to go and get it a bit closer?
Yeah.
It looks like the sponsor is that Constar. And bring it closer, Andy. What's a Constar?
I got it completely wrong. I was too confident.
I'm not sure how I feel about brown in a football top. It's German. Is it not German?
It's German. Not German.
It's St. Pauli.
Yep.
Oh, it's St. Pauli. There we go. Is that? Ooh. It's got paint drips on it.
Yep.
Oh, I like that feature. That's not too bad at all. I'm also a big fan of Under Armour. So Under Armour is a manufacturer of kit. What's it like, Hutchie? Is it a good one in person?
Yeah, I like this one.
You like it?
It's my first Under Armour garment ever.
How recent is that?
2 years.
Oh, Matt Penny might have worn that.
Oh no, he didn't. I think he didn't wear this one. So maybe it was last season. But yeah, interesting club, interesting kit.
Yeah, I like Under Armour. I'd like to see more Under Armour kits, maybe. Anyway, moving on. And on the subject of, I like the way you just chucked that away, by the way. just whoosh. On the subject of brown, I want to finish this week with a big KOA debate. One of our listeners, member of the KOA army called Andrew on Twitter, tagged us in an image of a Bovril ice lolly, which is being handed out outside Wembley at a recent event. And he said, surely this is one for a KOA debate. And Andrew, you know us so well, because as soon as I saw that, I thought, yes, we have to talk about Bovril ice lollies. So who wants to start this? Hutchie, you're a noted fan of beefy, meaty drinks and Bovril as a whole. But generally, when we've spoken about this, it's in the colder months.
This is in your wheelhouse, to interject, because you don't like hot drinks, but you do like Bovril. You'll make an exception for Bovril. So for the Iceman, this should be perfect for you, shouldn't it?
What's not to like about icy beef? And that, well, and that's lot, all I've that's all I've got to say about that, really. What's not to like? Ice cold beef. Yes, please. On a hot day.
So you're wandering along outside Wembley on your way to a game or whatever. Someone says, "Here, Andy," because they know who you are, obviously. have a Bovril ice lolly. You go, yes, please. I'll have a Bosch on that. Is that what you say?
Yeah. It's like a cold pepperami, isn't it? Like meat in a little travel pack that you can like get out and crack on with it. Like what?
You've offered me nothing.
I've said what's not to like, and none of you can come up with anything.
Literally everything you've said is wrong. Icy beef, cold pepperami. These are not things that should be associated unless you're at a zoo and you're feeding the animals on a hot day and you'll give them iced beef. Rossi, a noted foodie that you are with eclectic tastes. Bovril ice lolly, what are you saying?
What's a Bovril? I'm joking. not for me. I like ice lollies and all that, but they need to be sweet and, you know, sugary, not
beef
flavored. Yeah. So not for me. Although how do they make it like, because it's purple in it. I swear the picture was purple.
It's sort of browny, isn't it?
I hope it's not purple.
Yeah.
That'd be aubergine. An aubergine ice lolly.
It's brown. Stewie, you're like me, surely.
It's the salt content that's putting me off here. I can't get my head around an ice lolly tasting salty. Don't knock it till you've tried it, but on this occasion, I think it would just be an outright no.
Yeah. And you've also, obviously, that one of the great joys of ice lollies is when they start to melt, you've got that kind of juicy stuff at the bottom, haven't you? In this case, you're going to have cold Bovril, essentially. And she's loving that.
I don't like hot drinks particularly.
Yeah.
But I do like them when they go cold. I will quite often, you've probably witnessed me, Stu, have a Bovril that I kind of drink at the end of the game when I got it at the beginning.
You probably haven't
noticed, but you will now.
Okay. I would have a go on it just because I feel like I should always try new things, especially when it comes to food. But I've got to say, my first instincts were hell to the no, boys. And as predicted, one of our other listeners, Mullet, predicted how we might respond to that. And I think he's got it spot on, with Andy being the only one who'd say, yes, please. Right then, friends, that brings us to the end of this week's show. A few things to tease before we go. Mike Bacon's podcast on Sunday, 6 a.m. Stephen Foster's favourite, Town 11. And also, friends, it would be remiss of me not to mention an excellent video feature that dropped yesterday, Rossi. Last King Standing, a little Ross Hall's production, which you need to go back and watch, friends, because probably the best 7 minutes of video of your life.
Oh no. Oh, that's a shame.
Oh,
time up on that feature.
Someone's a bit salty, aren't they? Speaking of Bovril. Go back and watch that if you've not, because it's a good watch. Also support our sponsors, Musicode Carry at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery. Obviously, the sun is out now. You need to get that body trim and various other parts of you shaved up ahead of the summer. And also, as I say, excellent new boxer shorts range. Get yourself involved there. And also follow us across all our social medias, Kings of Anger on YouTube, please, Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. Chaps, any other business to throw into the mix before we head off for the weekend?
No other business.
No other business.
Goodbye.
Okay, excellent. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this second dose of KOA podcast this week. Stay tuned. Next week could be a big week at the club. I'm off to have a midlife crisis. I hope you have a great weekend and we'll speak to you next time.
From true crime to football, Brexit to Oakville. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon. from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.